Good afternoon. By the time you hear this, be good morning, and welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Well, the Raiders are about to welcome the Chiefs, and with so much to talk about, you know we have to bring in the viceroy of the videotape, our guy Ryan Holmes. Ryan, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on again.
Hey, always. Now, I want to talk about Patrick Mahomes first. This 2021 version doesn't seem like the Mahomes of recent years. What have you seen different from him?
I think a lot of teams are playing a lot more coverage against him this year, a lot of two-shell, some cover two, some cover four, and just taking away the deep ball. The biggest thing for me, I think, is the offensive line. I know that they reshaped it. They acquired Orlando Brown. They have the rookies in Humphrey and Smith. They've had some issues at right tackle. It seems like they might be down to their third-string guy this year. But even when Lucas Niang was up and starting, he was essentially a first-year guy. He was a guy they took out of TCU 2 years ago. So a lot of youth on that offensive line. I don't think Orlando Brown is quite playing up to the level they were hoping. So they have some issues along that offensive line. And then Patrick Mahomes isn't trusting it when it's there. And then when he's getting outside the pocket, you're not seeing those explosive deep shots we're used to seeing where when he breaks contain – it's a chunk play or a touchdown down the field. Teams are doing much better. And then Patrick's just not taking the checkdowns when they're there. He's trying to force the ball down the field. And it's coming back to haunt him. And those turnover-worthy plays that he was getting away with in the past, he's not getting away with this year.
I noticed that he's increased his interceptions, but he's also decreased his yards per attempt, which is, to me, that's wild. And I agree with you. He just doesn't – he's not taking what's there, and he's – I mean, I watched the Green Bay game from beginning to end, and he's lucky to have escaped that one. I mean, a veteran quarterback on the other side wins that game. And do you think that – I was surprised when the Chiefs sent LDT away, like they traded him. Do you think that that will come up to haunt them? They traded one of their better offensive linemen?
Yeah, I think it will. The offensive line and protection is paramount for that offense to allow them the time to take those shots down the field. When he doesn't have the time to get Hill streaking down the field or Hardeman coming across or give Kelsey time to work the over routes, it does. So I was surprised that they did give away the offensive lineman. I want to say, did he go to the Jets? Yeah, they gave away some depth there on the offensive line. I think. Did you say Tuvernay?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they traded him to dead on the Jets, so it was interesting to see them give away some depth there. I know they like the rookie Trey Smith out of Tennessee, but for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, giving away offensive line depth, that was curious to me.
I mean, they traded him for, as we talk, look it up, for a tight end, Daniel Brown. Daniel Brown has 44 career interceptions for less than 10 yards of catch and 2 touchdowns. That's what they traded, like a 30-year-old lineman in his prime. I don't know. Like, they seem like they could have got a lot more for him. But while we're here with the Chiefs and the offense, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, according to reports, has looked good in practice, so he's coming back off injury. The Raiders have a, let's just call it, a leaky run defense. What do you see in Helaire, and what do you think that the Raiders will do to kind of stop the bleeding, so to speak?
This week, I don't expect them to do anything. I think they're inviting the Chiefs to run the ball. They want them to run the ball and keep Patrick Mahomes from throwing the ball down the field. Edwards-Helaire, to me, I thought they'd get him more involved in the pass game. I'm surprised. That was kind of a big element that he had coming out of LSU when he was there with Joe Burrow. You haven't seen him catching a ton of balls. He's gotten a couple screens here recently before he went on IR. I expect them to get him the ball in space more on screens than trying to pound the ball. Kansas City could have success this week if they wanted to. It's just not in their DNA. I don't think Mahomes, the enemy, or Reed really wants to run the ball, you know, 25 times a game. I think they'll be content giving Edwards-Helaire, you know, 8 to 10 carries, give Gore a couple carries, give Williams a couple carries, and try to run the ball 15, 16 times this week, which I think the Raiders would love for them to turn around and try to run it 20 or 25 times. defensively, it's just, you know, the Raiders aren't getting the same kind of production out of Hankins in the middle that he's gotten in the past. He's been injured a little bit here the last couple of weeks. Quentin Jefferson is a very good pass rusher on the inside, but I would say he's a below-average run defender. So the combination of having those two guys in the middle hasn't held up. And there's just times where guys get outside of their gaps. Some missed tackles on the edge by some corners. Sometimes Abram, last week there was a big run. Abram just completely got out of his gap. So just a gap integrity and trusting the guys next to you to be there. And they played well in spurts and then boom, 20-yard run. So it's, they got to limit those big runs. And they're fine giving up 3, 4, 5 yards a carry because teams aren't going to run the ball anymore. This is going to, I think it'll be a bigger factor as we head down the stretch when you start to get the cold weather. You start to play the Bengals who will run it, the Cowboys, Kansas City, and cold weather may try to run it more. And then you're going to have Cleveland and Indianapolis who are really going to try to run it. So the Raiders do need to clean that up. But I don't know if they have the guys on their roster and or the willingness to want to. They want to scream up the field and get after the quarterback, and that's kind of just how Gus Bradley called defenses in the past.
We've always, and there's always been thought about pass rusher being born and not made. Do you think the inverse is also true? Like, it takes something different to get kind of grimy and stop the run. Do you think that being an interior defensive lineman, you have to have that nose to know that you're not going to, you know, you're not going to get all the gaudy stats or the recognition? Do you think it takes a whole shift of mindset for that to happen? Be able to just be like a run stuffer?
Yeah, clearly those guys, you know, they're not going to get any headlines. They got to fight through double tank teams. They have, you know, anywhere from 600 to 650 pounds pushing on them every play. And their job is to keep the linemen from getting the linebackers who are going to get all the credit when they make the stops. I just think in this system, at times you see when guys are single blocked, whether it be Phylon, Jefferson, even Hankins at times, they try to get up the field and create some havoc, and then that's opening up some lanes where maybe one guy wins and the other guy doesn't, and that creates a crease. I was pretty disappointed last week in Farrell when he got some snaps. You know, just didn't really hold up in the run game, which is usually his strong suit. So they're going to need some stronger efforts out of some of those secondary linemen against the run because, you know, it's not a strong suit for Ngakoue. As good as Crosby is, you can't have him exerting all of his energy on obvious rundowns. Those two guys need to get after the quarterback.
I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, it takes something different. And this is, for the second consecutive week, I see the Raiders defensive line having an advantage. Now, we saw how, at times, it played well in New York. Do you think they'll have the advantage going into this game Sunday night?
Clearly, the strength of the Raiders defense is those two pass rushers, Ngakoue and Crosby. And I would say the weakness right now for the Chiefs are their edge guys. I don't think Brown's playing particularly well at the left tackle spot. He's a big guy, 6'8", you know, north of, you know, 350, 360 pounds. Is he going to be able to keep up with Ngakoue in obvious passing situations? I have my doubts. I think Ngakoue is going to win the corner pretty easily against him. And on the right side, they're down to the second or possibly third string right tackle going up against Max Crosby. I also envision, and we started to see a little bit last week where Ngakoue and Crosby lined up and rushed from the same side. I could see the Raiders doing that, putting Crosby and Ngakoue on the right side, the offensive right side, so go against the rookie and Smith and then against whoever the right tackle is, and then potentially putting Nassib in with that package on the other side just to give you another pass rusher, because in the past when they've done it, they still keep Jefferson, they slide him out, and then use Hankins or Phylon in the middle or Thomas. I think we might see some pass rush this week where it's Ngakoue, Crosby, Thomas, and Nassib on the field together, which I don't think we've seen this year, and just get those guys to get up the field. If the Chiefs don't want to run the ball, then put the pass rush on the field and get after Mahomes.
It's kind of like their version of the old New York Giants NASCAR defensive line. We have four defensive ends just screaming up the middle. They knew you weren't going to run, so they decided to put four ends in and dare you. I kind of like that idea. It's something I was hoping this team had, you know, that they would try, and I think it could work. Now, we come back from break. We need to discuss the Chiefs receivers, tight ends, and we're going to flip it and talk about the Raiders after that. You are listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast. Podcast and FBC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press Raiders Podcast. Terrence Vick, Ryan Holmes. Ryan, with news breaking that apparently Odell Beckham is going to sign with the Rams, he is now out of the Chiefs' plans. Tyreek Hill still remains a massive issue, and he is a given going in. Do you think, what do you think that Casey Hayward will have for him?
This is going to be tough because the Raiders have played 60-61% of cover three this year. They can't go into Kansas City and play even 50% of cover three because I just don't think they match up with this offense doing that. So, and Gus Bradley has a history of mixing up his defensive against Kansas City, a lot of cover six, cover four, you know, play quarters, keep the ball in front of them. The problem is the Raiders haven't done a lot of that this year. So I'm very intrigued to see how Gus Bradley calls this, what he does with those young defensive backs. Merrick's going to get challenged this week. Hayward, I don't think you can just have play man coverage and say Hayward stay with Hill. That's not going to work. If they play cover three, Hill's going to go in as the number three in a three-by-one and scream across the field against the linebacker. So the Raiders are going to have to really change up their coverage here. Can Brandon Faison cover him? I don't know. So I have a lot of concerns about how the Raiders are going to defend this offense this week. And I think the best thing to do is play quarters and then just try to keep the ball in front of you and then just rally and tackle and hope that the Chiefs don't take those checkdowns. But Tyreek Hill could be in line for a big game here if they want to get him the ball quickly on screens, underneath, let him some run after the catch. I don't think the Raiders are going to let him beat him over the top and deep down the field for big touchdowns and big plays.
Now, with Hill being a massive problem, I'm surprised. I really haven't seen the development in Mecole Hardman that we thought, and that might be a case that will actually help the Raiders. Like, he's a speed guy, but he's not a big speed guy, and he runs kind of sloppy routes. And it doesn't seem, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, he doesn't seem that he's earned the trust of Mahomes. Do you think that even if Hill captures a double, that if Hardman is somewhat open, he's still not going to get the ball?
Yeah, I'm just looking at their stats right now. So Hardman's got 38 catches for 372 yards. He's averaging 9.8 yards a catch for a guy who is supposed to be a speedster down the middle of the field. So there's something going on here. They're either not using him properly, he's just not getting open deep, and they seem to be using him on a lot more shorter patterns. They'd like to get him involved in the run game as well. So it's interesting. Even looking at Tyreek Hill, you want to guess what Tyreek Hill's yards per catch is this year? It's 11.4. They just don't have those explosive plays down the field. He has 68 catches, but for 772 yards. But even Travis Kelce's at 11.6. So those big plays are just not happening. And I think Mahomes is going to have to start taking the checkdowns. And even looking at their targets, Hill's at a 101, Kelce's at 79, Hardman's at 53, and then there's two guys in the 20s and 14. Josh Gordon is a no-show. He's got four targets on the season, one catch for 11 yards. So he's basically brought nothing to this offense. So if the Raiders can figure out how to double Hill and Kelce, the Chiefs are going to have a tough time moving the ball in the air. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, for me, it is – I don't know. I thought that Hardman would be more. But speaking of Kelce, I have those nightmares of Jonathan Abram coming off coverage to chase Mahomes and leaving Kelce wide open for the touchdown. I'm happy now that there is a different defensive coordinator, and I think that Abrams' role in coverage will be hopefully a lot less. Who do you see taking Kelce out of the game, or who do you want to see taking him or trying to guard him?
Ideally, it's Corey Littleton. He's the best coverage linebacker on the team. What you don't want to have happen is get him matched up with Abram and or Perryman. So this is where the cat and mouse game comes in. So let's say the Raiders come out and cover three. Obviously, they're playing zone. The Chiefs are good enough to move Hill and Kelce around to get whatever matchup they want. If the Raiders want to play a 2-deep shell and play cover two or cover four or even cover six, who's the second safety that plays deep? I hope it's not Abram. I think they'd want to keep him closer to the box. This is the week where Dallin Levitt shows up and plays deep because the Raiders don't really have that third safety right now. At times, clearly it will be Abram. Maybe they'll play some cover one cross with Abram. He's done that a little bit. But this is going to be interesting because I don't think the Raiders, like I said, can come out and just play cover three and handle this offense. As bad as Kansas City's offense has been this year, the only way they can really do it is if the Chiefs just decide, hey, we don't want to run the ball. We're going to throw it 40, 50 times, and then the ends just eat, which clearly the Chiefs will have to adjust and start running the ball if that happens. But I could see Kelce having a big game working across the middle if they can get him matched up on Perryman or Abram. So the Raiders are going to have to be creative in how they line up and play defense. They're going to have to disguise stuff because by just motion will change the passing strength and change the linebacker's coverage responsibilities. And the Chiefs are really good at motion and getting the matchups they want.
Now, flipping to the other side of the ball, you have the Raiders offense. You have the offensive line going against, I don't know, it's a Chiefs pass rush that doesn't really look scary. You have, you know, Chris Jones and Michael Dana lead the team with three sacks apiece. What do you see from that front that believes you that Vegas is going to have a field day and being able to run the ball and be able to throw with consistency?
This is interesting. So I looked at the Chiefs defensive stats this morning. They're in the 20s in every category. Surprisingly, they are the worst team in the league as far as getting sacks. They are dead last in the league at 1.3 sacks per game. So they're just not affecting the quarterback enough, which is surprising. With Chris Jones, I know that Frank Clark missed some time, but he seems to be back. But he's played six games and has one sack. So if they're not getting any production from Frank Clark, it's going to be really hard for this team to get after the quarterback. But I fully expect for them to move Clark to the offensive right, line him up across from Parker, and then have Jones line up over Leatherwood and or James. And just those two guys attack those three linemen. So the Raiders are going to have to be kind of creative when that happens. Maybe they slide the protection because there's no real pass rusher other than Melvin Ingram on the other side who just came over, but he hasn't been a productive pass rusher in 2 years. And Pittsburgh just gladly gave him away within the conference. So that tells you what they thought of him. But this team really struggles all across the board. They're 26th in yards, 24th in points, 21st against the run, 21st against the pass. So teams have been able to move the ball, and you have to look at those stats under – a microscope. That also includes the game against the Packers last week where Jordan Love couldn't do anything. So if you remove that from these stats, they're even worse. So they're getting healthy. That's my one concern. They got Willie Gay back. Frank Clark's been back a couple of weeks now. They're getting some of their secondary pieces back. So they're going to be at close to full strength on defense. But I still think the Raiders, if they want to move the ball consistently and they're willing to run the football and let Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake get after it on the ground, they're going to be able to move the ball, and it's going to come down to the red zone. Can they punch it across, or do they have to kick it for three?
They have 9 15-plus yard touchdowns surrendered through the air. It's the defense. I think that Derek Carr, and I've been a Derek Carr critic, can throw the ball effectively again. And when I look at their linebackers are interesting because you have a young guy like a Nick Bolton, who he has the between the tackles type of thing, but I think he lacks the ability to make plays in space. And you have, like you said, you have Gay coming back, and Hitchens is just—he's consistent. He's not gonna kill you, but he's not gonna be great in coverage either. I want to focus on the Chiefs secondary, one person in particular, number 49, Sorensen. How, if you are not the way that you don't find him just about every passing down?
Yeah, this one's interesting because Sorensen's snaps have been going down as they've gotten Juan Thornhill more into the lineup. But if they want to use Tyrann Mathieu kind of as that rover, they're going to have to put Sorensen on the field because the Chiefs over the last month are playing a majority of cover two. They've played 32 or 33% of cover two, which is the highest across the league or for them. And they've gone to much more of a zone team than a man team over the last month of the season. So if they want to move Mathieu around, then Sorensen gets on the field, then the Raiders have to attack him. And if they're going to play cover two, throw the ball down the field against Sorensen because he's not going to make a play on the ball. He's probably going to panic. He's going to get defensive pass interferences. But the Raiders are going to have to take those shots. And against cover two, it's not going to be there that often, which is why I kind of think getting DeSean Jackson in the lineup is great this week, but if they go up against a lot of cover two, they're not going to be able to get him the ball down the field running the post routes or the corner routes. So they're going to have to get him involved more underneath with drags. But Sorensen is the weak link on this defense. I don't think the linebackers are particularly good either. I don't think Bolton's a good defender against the pass. I don't think Hitchens is either. Willie Gay is the one linebacker I think that can run and be able to be a defender in the middle of the field here. But if the pass rush isn't getting home, it doesn't matter who is on the back end of that defense because they're just not going to hold up against Renfrow and Waller. And then clearly DeSean Jackson, and you could even get Drake involved and Jacobs in the passing game. So the Raiders are going to have, if the Raiders' offensive line holds up here and they get any sort of running game going, they're going to be able to move the ball pretty easily.
And as noted, they brought in DeSean Jackson to help take the top off the defense. Now at 34, how much do you think he has left, and what do you think he'll provide immediately on Sunday?
Well, I think he can still run, so he can still take the top off of the defense. He can still win down the field on post routes when the middle of the field isn't when it's not closed. When he can get down the field and work vertically, he's not going to win. You know, on the 10-yard out route, he's not going to win any comeback routes. He's going to win deep. We're looking at vertical seam routes, go routes, post routes, corner routes, and then underneath on drag routes running across the field. I'd like to see the Raiders get him involved there first, like. Get the ball in his hands in space. He's got return skills. And he's a guy that can just make plays. They don't really have that on the roster. Zay Jones and Edwards are more bigger physical guys that win more with their bodies and just being physical. They're not going to create any separation. So it'll be interesting to see how many plays Jackson plays. I'm guessing it's somewhere in the 15 to 20 range where they'll have specific down distance packages against looks they're expecting to get. I don't think he's going to run out there and play 50 snaps week one. I don't think he knows the offense well enough or some of the different audibles or things Carr is going to want him to do. But when he's on the field, they're going to have to target him a little bit and get him involved.
Now, when you look at Darren Waller and you look at the fact that in the last game versus the Chiefs, you had, I think on the last one or the one they won at Arrowhead, you had Waller abusing Tyrann Mathieu. How do you think that the Chiefs will adjust and be able to say, hey, we need not to put one of our shorter defensive backs against their taller, quote unquote, wide receivers? And how big of a day do you
I think they're going to bracket Waller. So I think they're going to have inside outside coverage on him with a safety and with a linebacker, probably Willie Gay because he can run. So if they line him up in the box, not split him out wide, then you're going to see them try to double him because I don't think they think the Raiders are going to throw the ball down the field vertically against them. And Waller's going to have to win, you know, on kind of like those choice routes underneath where he has a two-way go or a three-way go and just win. If they line him up outside a wide receiver at the X position or the Z position, just out wide, it'll be interesting to see how they match up with him. I don't think they're going to bring Mathieu down at that point because then you just throw, you know, jump balls, fade routes to him, go routes where his physicality can win. I don't think Juan Thornhill's big enough to guard him out there, and I don't think you really want a linebacker. So at that point, I would think that they'd probably put Snead, one of their bigger corners out there, on him, and then you're going to have to win with hitch routes, slant routes. I think the Raiders need to throw more slant routes. If they have these big wide receivers, Edwards, Jones, Waller, and just win that way. Those guys are not winning vertically. They're not going to create 3, 4, or 5 yards of separation. I see a lot of Raiders Twitters like, well, Edwards and Jones aren't creating separation. They're not going to throw on the ball. That's not how they win. They're not going to create separation most weeks. You got to let them win those 50-50 balls or those opportunities where they can get inside the defenders and just use those bodies to shield them off. They didn't call a lot of those routes last week. I was pretty disappointed in kind of the routes that Olsen had those two guys run, and they never really got him involved either. So they're going to have to get him involved. You can't have those guys, you know, trying to win vertically consistently or just clearing out, you know, doing their cardio on Sunday. So it'll be really interesting to see the game plan and how Olsen switches it up this week because they need those guys. They can't win just throwing the ball to Waller and Renfrow every down.
How soon, when somebody tweets that nonsense at you, can you read into the 280 characters and tell that they're full of nonsense? Like, how soon can you tell somebody has no idea what they're talking about?
Pretty quickly. There was a couple plays earlier this year. Remember the first screen route that was thrown to to Jacobs a couple of weeks ago. I think it was against Denver. It was a four vertical. Ruggs came in motion, and then I got a bunch of people like, oh, Ruggs is open. Like, he should have hit Ruggs. Like, it's a screen pass, guys. Like, the ball is not designed to go down the field to the furthest outside wide receiver. It's a screen. Like, when I get that stuff all the time, but I kind of just ignore it. I don't really respond to it. It's interesting. And you learn a lot. Watching the All-22, probably the last 4 years, I've learned more about football than I did before. I thought I knew a lot, but I didn't. You know, I can always learn more every day. And, you know, I even was sending messages about a defensive coverage like yesterday to B.D. Williams. I went, B.D., break this down for me. What are they doing here? Because I'm kind of confused. And we had a nice back and forth on that. So, you know, just learning from different guys what's going on, it has really helped. But, no, I do get that quite a bit where, you know, I get some weird comments. But I've learned breaking down this tape now for 3 or 4 years to kind of ignore those. I used to try to respond to all of them, and then it doesn't help. Like, just ignore it and move on.
That was my greatest sin, trying to discuss things, especially during a draft. So I just asked the one person this question: what do you see? And if they parrot PFF, if they parrot some, nope, I'm just going to ignore it. Now, who do you see winning this game and why?
Well, this is tough. I want to be a homer, but I'm actually, and I just had another podcast where I predicted this. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. I know as a Raiders fan, we want to win this game. I'm picking the Kansas City 28-27 late field goal. And this is the reason why. I know the defense has played great. I know the Chiefs aren't the Chiefs traditionally what we think they are the last couple of years. This is my one concern about this game. Gus Bradley is called cover 3 61% of the time, or whatever the number is. It's somewhere in the low 60s. They can't do that against Kansas City. So now we're asking young defensive backs. Nate Hobbs is going to be put in some situations. He hasn't played a lot this year. Trayvon Merrigan. You're going to see Abram Moore in coverage down the field. The Raiders haven't played a ton of cover 2, cover 4, cover 6, even cover 5 this year, and they're going to have to do it this week. So I think there's going to be some breakdown. I don't think they're going to come out and play lights out in coverage. Because they just haven't had the reps. I would have really have liked to see them mix some more of that stuff in the last couple of weeks, just get reps for these guys in live situations. I know they don't want to put it on film, so the Chiefs expect that. So this is going to be a really interesting cat and mouse game. And I just think at the end of the day, there's too much youth in that secondary. It's still Patrick Mahomes. It's still Tyreek Hill. It's still Travis Kelce. And I just think at some point there's going to be some explosive plays down the field that Chiefs haven't hit on this year, and that might be the difference. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Raiders win this game. I know people are going to come at me like, oh, I thought you were a Raiders fan. I am, but it's not. We have to be realistic at some point. I predict them to go 10-7 this year, and then 11-6, I think, recently after they were 5-2. So they're still going to lose some games down the stretch here, and I just think that this might be one of those weeks.
It's funny. Like, I am critical, cynical when it comes to this team. And I watched the Giants game a couple of times. They left points on the board, and I just knew that was when they had to have. But also watched the Packers and the Chiefs. And like you said, this may not be the same Chiefs team, but I don't know. I get the feeling that deep in the pit of my stomach that Jackson gets loose on one of those 15 to 20 plays that he's in and takes 170 or takes 160. And I think the Raiders actually pull this one out. They pull it out 30 to 26. If you go back and listen, I really pick the Raiders to win games. I really pick games. But I think that this is one of those games that a good team needs to win. If they don't win it, this is a giant problem. This is a huge problem. Now, you might have a snowball effect, but how can people interact with you on social media?
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of messages after I just picked the Chiefs to win the game. But, Twitter handles rholm22. It's rholm22. Again, you know, send me some DMs, send me questions on Twitter. Maybe something, a play in the game you want broken down. I'm happy to answer those when I have time. And I'm with you. Go Raiders. They're at home. It's Sunday night. The atmosphere is going to be electric. It's a home divisional game. It's a game they need to win. So let's hope they pull it out. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully they don't go down the field and kick that field goal at the end and they win 27-24 or 27-25 or whatever it is. But it's going to be a really close game. I don't think either team's good enough to pull away from the other one. And it's going to come down to turnovers, I think. Can the Raiders get the Chiefs to continue to turn the ball over? Or are they going to have that game where it's zero or one turnovers? And because I'm pretty sure last time I checked, they're in the top two or three in the league in yards per drive. So this team is turning the ball over a ton, but they're mm-hmm. still scoring a lot compared to how many times they have the ball. So we'll see.
They have to turn over and capitalize. But this has been another episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.